Happy Monday, tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We have the one and only djembe player slash comedian Paul Farvar joining the show with Mona Aber-Nishan discussing her bi-monthly comedy event. And to celebrate National Pasta Month, we have Mark Sparacino from the Chicago restaurant Prosecco with author Adam Selzer joining us at 12:35. And now to start your week off right, here she is, Patty Vasquez.
Monday again. I hope that you are happy and well wherever you happen to be right now. Maybe you're in your car. Maybe you're in bed. I always think, like, I've been trying lately to decide what the cutoff should be for some people. Like, but it's not up to me to decide when someone's bedtime is. And besides, what if you're on the East Coast and we're already past what your bedtime should be? And if you're here in the Midwest, then maybe it's midnight. Maybe if you're out West, you still have some more time. So that's, it sort of seems nebulous as to when I should say, all right, everybody, time to go to bed now. And I don't mind if you drift off to sleep with us. I just can't promise you that we'll keep it down. Sometimes we get a little bit giggly. Sometimes we get a little serious. Sometimes there's some music. But we're happy that you're here. And if you do have to drift off or get out of your car, don't forget everything that we ever say is podcast on iTunes. You can search for WGN Radio Patty Vasquez. That's P-A-T-T-I. The good news is every single show is podcast within the hour after we get out of here because Michael Heidemann is on top of it. You can go to Patty V Show on Facebook. That's P-A-T-T-I-V Show on Facebook. And then also follow me on Twitter because it's linked together. So if you're looking for the podcast, it's also on Patty Vasquez, C-H-I. Follow us on Instagram. And we're just happy you're here. I'm happy that Paul Farvar made it because his phone died on him in Arizona. And you had to ask for actual directions. Was it at a gas station even?
Yeah. Well, it didn't just die. It just cramped out. Like, it wasn't just batteries. It was just resetting and it's resetting.
No.
And it was I didn't know how to get to the airport because I just use Waze all the time.
Right.
I'm so dependent on it.
But and all of a sudden you were thinking, wow, I wish I was like Patty and had four phones and the situation
yeah,
would not
now
have
I
happened.
Understand why you do that. Yeah, I had to get directions. I parked my rental car right outside of a Starbucks to get free internet so I could log into my laptop.
Right.
And then I got the MapQuest and I'm like, okay, now I know where I have to go, but now I just have to find the highway. So I went to a gas station. I'm like, hey, how do I get to 51? And they're all just looking at me like, I'm like, my phone cramped. I'm not weird, like, whatever. But they're all millennials. So they didn't know how to answer the question. They're like, what?
Yeah, I wonder if I could give directions in a sort of articulate way. I think I could hear, and I've said this before, anything north of the river I'm pretty good with streets and stuff. Although,
yeah.
I was in my neighborhood yesterday doing some canvassing for the neighborhood, trying to find out what issues are important to people as far as, like, the next election's coming up. And the guy I was walking with, he's from a group called Forgotten Chicago. Have you seen their Facebook page?
No.
I was with Patrick. They have this whole Facebook page devoted to all these neighborhoods of Chicago and older buildings and companies that used to be around. So everyone should go to Forgotten Chicago on Facebook and you'll see the great history of Chicago. But he was like, he's one of those guys who knew the hundreds. He's like, oh, we're at Carmen and Laramie, so we must be at, you know, whatever 100 number. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah.
There are people that just know that in their brains.
Yeah, there's certain things. And I know how to get people to an airport here in Chicago.
Absolutely.
But I was in Arizona and like.
Yeah, no, you're out of here.
Yeah, some of those people don't travel a lot. So.
Plus, they don't have Lake Michigan.
For me,
everything, like, as long as I know where Lake Michigan is,
right.
I know where everything else is.
Yeah, no.
Which, by the way, it's interesting you say millennials because I wonder if it's only going to continue to be worse as, mm-hmm. you know, for next generation. Because my son Griffin got into an argument with one of his classmates because his classmate was saying that England was to the right of the United States. And Griffin said, you mean east of the
right.
United States? And he goes, no, it's to the right. And it wasn't just this one classmate. Like, apparently some of the – because – I think Griffin's that kid that everyone wants to have him be wrong because he's mm-hmm. always just so
right.
Little, he's always right and and perhaps not the most humble about it. But Griffin was like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, let me get this right. So anywhere where I'm standing, so if I'm pointing to the right now, that's just automatically east.
Yeah.
So if I'm standing this way, and this way, he's like, no, but if you're looking at the map, it's to the right of it. He goes, you mean to the east of it?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's only going to get worse for kids geographically if that's how they think of directions is to the right of something.
Yeah, I mean, and even before we had maps and stuff that we grew up on. Like, I didn't know my left or right till I was older. I still kind of have to think in east, west, north, south. I didn't know till I was a lot older. But now, I mean, you always, there's no reason to know where to go. You just, you're going to be so, and it's not just millennials. It's, I mean, I rely on every, I went from the same location to the same club every day, but I always plugged in Waze because I was like, I just want to look around and, like, I didn't know where I turned left or right, so.
You want to wait for your instructions.
Yeah.
Turn left now, Paul.
Yes. I rely on Waze.
I do, too. I mean, I do as well, but I use both. I use both Waze. Even though I know Google Maps runs Waze, I still use both just to see.
I do Google Maps sometimes, too, but Waze, the thing is sometimes you, I don't like how you can't change it. Like, if it's like it decides you're going this way, you're like, well, I don't want to do that way. If you
I saw someone choose another route, and I was wondering,
I don't know
if it's like an update in the app or not, but have you ever used a compass? Can you use a compass? Wow, that's a no. That's a big
no.
That's a big no.
Yeah. No, I don't know how to do that. I do know, like, looking at the sun. That's
well, that's better
Eastern
than I can
glow.
Do. Yeah. All right. I don't think I can go by the sun.
I only know that from the Led Zeppelin song because it goes "Waiting for the Eastern Glow." That's all. That's the only thing I remember.
Michael, can you use a compass or tell where you're going by the sunlight?
Yes.
Or the moss on the side of a tree.
I often go as far as I can hear the beehive and take a left. But
take a left of the beehive.
I feel like Michael will know how to get out of any bad situation. He must have been an Eagle Scout. That's what I guess.
I never made it to Eagle Scout. I made it to Boy Scout.
Okay, see,
but I have read a lot of zombie apocalypse books.
Oh, and, sure. All right. Not quite a prepper, but at least
I'm not a prepper, but I feel like I would be the one of the last ones to survive in those kind of situations.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. Is one of the tricks to, like, trip somebody else so that you're faster?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You want to surround yourself with as many slow people as
slow
you can.
Slow people, yeah.
Yeah. I think
just dive over them.
That's tactical.
Makes
I like
sense.
That.
Mm-hmm.
I also know to somersault.
Oh, very good. Is that come in handy with zombies, somersaulting? Cartwheels confuse them?
I got kicked out of Cub Scouts in the first grade. So
nice.
Kicked out.
Were you really? Why?
Well, you know, one of the guys that we were with, there was a point where you had to make bowling pins of yourself. Like, you painted the bowling pin as yourself, and we all did it. And then one guy, like, decided to throw it down some stairs, and it broke a lot of things. And then no one would say who it was that did it, so we all got kicked out.
Wait, you all got thrown out for not being stoolies?
Well, also, that was the den mother with his mom, so I think she just was fed up, and there was like eight of us. And I think it was just like, we're not going to do this anymore.
She wanted to relinquish her responsibilities.
That's what I think.
All right.
Don't really remember.
Can we call her? Do we still have her contact information?
I don't know if she's still with us. But
all right, fair enough.
I know my friend who is. I can call him.
312-981-7200. If we put you in the middle of a field somewhere, would you be able to find your way home? More after this on 720 AM. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I'll figure that out in a moment. Let me find some directions. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, who's recently returned from Arizona after some great shows there, but had to stop along the way on his way to the airport for some actual directions and stupefied the millennials at the gas station. Esmeralda will be traveling to Ireland and Iceland. And have you found out whether or not you have your cell phone coverage there? Are you adjusting for that?
My boyfriend Colin said he has it.
Okay.
But I'm taking precautions and downloading Google Maps that I have, because I get very, I don't know what you would call it, prepared.
Oh, excellent.
I guess. And I set up my Google Maps, and I place little pinpoints in things that I want to look at I know of restaurants. And so then I'm going to download the map so that everything's there on my phone.
Excellent.
That's a good idea.
That's a real, that's not just...
And then I write little notes like, this is the best of whatever. This is supposed to be this or this and that. Yeah, I get real.
Mm.
Unless your phone cramps out, then you got to have a hard map.
A handheld map. That'd be pretty easy too. No?
That's what I said.
She'll be traveling with somebody as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, two phones cramping out. Probably not.
I like that you say cramping out.
Crapping out. I don't know what it is.
Crapping out.
What did I say? Cramping?
I'm not.
It's like a hamstring injury.
I feel like you're trying to be sort of cleaner for us, but I think crap isn't. I mean, it's not great, but
cramping
pooping out. Is it better than pooping out?
I don't know which one it is.
Let's stop talking about your messy phone. It's making me uncomfortable. Esmeralda, how are you basing your choices for restaurants? Are you getting suggestions from people or research?
I'm doing research, and then also just we want to go somewhere nice. So I've been looking at a couple of the list of the Bib Gourmand, which is the lesser Michelin starred restaurants.
Right.
So they're still really great, but they just don't have Michelin stars. So just kind of really just doing a lot of research.
There was only one place I really wish I could go back to in Dublin, which was like a pastry shop, had great breakfasts and sandwiches and things like that. But I honestly could not for the life of me tell you what it was. I don't. And we went in 2000.
Cool.
I know it was in 2000. Well, it was 2001. So who even knows? It's near the, or 2000? Yes, it was in 2000. It was May 2000. And it's near the youth hostel. I will ask my husband. I doubt that he might have notes. He keeps everything. We lost our phone. Not our phone. This is 2000. So we lost our camera. We lost our camera. So we ended up just buying postcards of everything we saw so that we would have like, so there are very few pictures of us being there, but all the things that we saw are all in a shoebox somewhere with just covered by postcards. But there was really good food. Obviously, I enjoyed quite a few pints along the way. It was a wonderful trip to Ireland. Have you been to Ireland before?
I have, but I didn't go to Dublin. I just went to, it was Daher Manor. It's a wedding I went to. It was a destination wedding.
You went to a wedding in Ireland?
Yeah. That's one of my friends. We all stayed in the same castle. It was pretty cool.
That's a wonderful
trip. Party in a castle.
Yeah. I'm thinking about planning a trip with my family next summer. I'm starting to take votes from the family, and they're staring at me like, why are we talking about this now? But I want to start planning for a trip with the family. I want an adventure with them sometime maybe in July. I'm thinking either Boston, Canada, and Griffin goes, you know that Canada's not a city. And I'm like, I know that. I'm just saying somewhere in Canada.
Quebec
yeah. Or Vancouver.
Vancouver's fun, I heard.
I've heard that as well. Toronto? I don't know.
Montreal. I've been to Montreal.
How's Montreal?
It was pretty cool.
Is it cool? Yeah. All right. I was thinking that, or else taking them to some of the locations where Doctor Who shoots, because my son and my husband are big Doctor Who fans. So that is one way to see England, because there's a lot of locations in Wales. So, and my husband's Welsh.
I like London a lot.
I do too. So I'm thinking about that. And or Ireland. I was thinking about doing maybe getting like a cottage in Wicklow or Waterford or Dingle.
What about like Waterloo, Iowa?
That's fair. No? You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he was saying that he has seen a lot of the president's museums, the presidential libraries and museums. And I was about to say something about the Hoover Museum, and then he said, would you believe that I really like the Hoover Museum? And I have to agree with him. I didn't know that much about President Hoover.
Where
it's
is
in
that?
Iowa.
Oh, it is. Okay.
That's what made me think of it when you went. I know. You would not have guessed that.
I thought it would be in Washington because of the dam.
Because the dam in Washington?
Hoover Dam?
Isn't the Hoover Dam is in
Nevada.
Oh, man. See, now you're going to get us in trouble. Nevada. It's Nevada, according to Nevadians. I don't know. Now I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble with pronouncing things. Well, then you're going off to Iceland. How is that trip shaping up, Ez?
That I have no clue.
No,
I mean, I can't pronounce half the words. So.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah.
It's a bit difficult sometimes.
There's a lot of consonants.
I was writing down, I was making a little map because we're going a shuttle drops you off, and it's not going to drop us off directly because we have an Airbnb.
Right.
So I just try to find like a close hotel or whatever, and then we could just walk over. And I'm writing down the street, and I'm just like, okay.
Sometimes you lose track.
Backwards B with a thing on top. Okay.
Are there
we'll
umlauts?
Figure it out.
Do they use umlauts?
I haven't seen umlauts. They have a lot of just accents and then
double dots.
There is, yeah, there's a letter that's, it's a D, but it's got a little like thing on top. So it looks like a little musical note almost.
Oh, interesting. It's going to be an adventure. I love that. Now, Rob Martyr, having lived in Canada, where would you recommend I take my family?
Well, I'm biased toward Montreal because I spent 10 years of my life there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place.
And do they speak French there? Or that's
they
Quebec.
Do. Okay. It's well, more so
bilingual.
In Quebec. Montreal is bilingual. But yeah, no, I mean, everybody speaks a little bit of English at least.
Do you speak French?
I used to. I was pretty good when I was up there.
See, this is so hard for me to explain to my son because I used to be able to speak Spanish. And when you stop practicing,
right.
You can't do it anymore.
It's hard, yeah.
It's really hard.
You still understand it all, right?
Not all
of it.
I
do, yeah.
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry,
you
Spanish.
You
no,
do.
Either, yeah.
You
yeah,
do, Rob?
I do.
I don't understand all Spanish, not always. Yes.
Well, like, my twins are my ex-wife is French, so my twins are perfectly bilingual.
Ah, see. Yeah. So you have to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it going.
When they start talking about dad. I heard that.
Hey now. More after this on 720. Je ne sais quoi? More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire. Now, your family's happy with the career your life has taken you, yes? With comedy? First a musician and then comedy?
No, they are absolutely not happy. They're not, they don't express themselves. We don't talk about it.
Well, I want to know what our friend Mona's family thinks about her being in comedy. Mona, tell people how I pronounce your last name, because I don't want to take a stab at it and do it harm.
Eber Michan. Yeah.
Welcome to the WGN
Showcase. I'm so excited
studio.
To be here.
I'm happy to have you. And you have a showcase twice a month. You have a comedy show twice a month at the Comedy Bowl, Diversity Bowl.
Yes.
And you do comedy and trivia.
Yes.
This is so much fun.
Yeah. Because as you know, like a lot of us are actually real smart. A lot of us comedians are smart. And everything that in a bar setting can get kind of boring. So I wanted something that I could use my trivia nerdiness. So each show we have a different trivia topic sandwiched in between four comedians, and we give out prizes. So that's some of the stuff I brought.
You brought glasses and t-shirts and scarves.
Swag. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. And also people always leave with a little bit more information than they came with. So like we had one episode was about women in sports. One was about the history of swearing, because I have a tendency to swear.
Hello. What was your favorite thing about the history of swearing?
That we FCC didn't invent friendly. It. That we didn't invent
no.
it. Right.
You mean this generation or Americans?
Yeah,
or?
All the swear words that I'm accused of saying, I can't say I invented them, so it's not my fault.
Right.
Right.
Those are something that it's part of history.
Yeah.
It's a long history of words. Where did you grow up?
I grew up, I started off at By Wrigley on Addison and Racine. Mm-hmm. And then I went to high school in Maine East, out in the suburbs in Des Plaines. And then I made my way back to Addison and the Kennedy for my master's and undergrad and all that stuff.
Where did you study your undergrad?
I did Loyola.
Okay. Studying, what was your major?
In school, it was international studies.
Okay.
Which was weird because I grew up in such an international studies family. I mean, it was just, I had to look at, inside the house. That was basically my education. But, and then I did my master's in international development and urban planning.
And did you go off and pursue a career in that?
Well, I was doing my master's thesis. I had come back from Namibia. I was living in Southern Africa. And I came home and I was doing my master's thesis. And I was like, this stinks.
I mean, all this time I've put into this.
Well, it was more like it was like the day job that I was maintaining to do the thesis. And I was like, oh. And then I got bullied by my sister saying, you got to do comedy.
Really?
She's like, just do it. Like I owed her money. And then my, me doing comedy would pay her debt or something. So I started with Second City, and then I did FemCom. And then the first time I performed stand up by myself, I was like, this is it. Everything finally made sense. And so I just kind of gradually, it wasn't until 2015 that I went full-time comedy.
Well, when you stand on the stage, you are so powerful. You have so much energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just burst on the stage. And I mean, you're just magnetic.
Yeah, because I'm so happy to be there. Thank
and very
you.
Likable, yeah. too. Everyone is.
Really?
Everyone, yeah.
Yes.
I've seen you perform. You're great.
Absolutely, man. I mean, like in a room like Joe's on Weed Street, to command the attention and just that sort of power for 700 people, it's incredible. You do a great
thank
job.
Thank you. I love it.
And when you do the Comedy Bowl, you have comics from all over the city.
And actually, I really accommodate a lot of traveling comics because I've been so fortunate that wherever I've performed, I've gotten guest spots. So if anyone comes through, then we even had Hannibal Buress show up. He just came in. I'm like, hey, you want to do it sometime? And he just did time. So yeah, I really do put a lot of effort to make sure that my lineup is really diverse in terms of gender and race and all that, because the audience reflects it as well. That's
sure.
Our audience is all different ages, all different colors, and it's the one place that kids are allowed because it's at a bowling alley.
Yeah, you can't have it. There's no way to sort of edit, with the public consumption.
Right.
People walking by, kids are going bowling, so you got to make it friendly.
Right. I try to emphasize for the comics to try to keep it, relatively clean, and they do the best they can. Yeah. They do the best they can.
I know comics have such a diverse idea of what clean means.
Right. Yeah. And they're kind of like the opinion, like a toddler. You say don't say something, then they're gonna instantly start saying it.
Yeah.
So
they can't think of anything else. Don't say that word. Oh, I said the word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They'll absolutely be like that. Now, you were mentioning, Paul, that we have some texters about about traveling, because we all travel quite a bit for comedy.
Yes.
And Paul's phone crapped out on him in Arizona, so he had to stop and ask for actual directions from people.
To get on a highway
at a
gas station.
And they stared at him.
They didn't know what to do.
They probably were like, but aren't you Persian? Don't you already know how to get everywhere?
They don't have... There are not a big Middle Eastern crowd in Scottsdale,
that
Arizona.
That we know of.
Yes. Right. No, I mean, I would ask the crowd. It was pretty. I think I saw one Middle Eastern person all week. Not joking.
Oh,
it's
okay.
A pretty.
And then you said, they got him.
Yeah. I mean, I have a joke ready if there is one, and I was like, there isn't one.
Well,
because
is anybody from the Middle East? Do any of us retire? Isn't that kind of like a retirement-heavy community? Do we ever retire?
We don't stop working. No. I mean, I know people there that are like family friends who are Middle Eastern, but they didn't come to my show, so it doesn't matter.
Because they're probably at work.
Yeah, right, sure.
Or they've heard it before. They're
I've seen his work. It's the same, right?
Yeah,
it's
we can
like
always do your
Jorbrani.
Job better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So what are people texting about traveling and knowing directions?
So somebody told someone from the 406 said, come to Montana, Patty, and they'll take you horseback riding.
Oh, that I would do. I don't need to. Mona's like, I don't know what kind of invitation that sounds like.
Come on, that sounds real suspect.
Come on to the middle of nowhere.
From Chicago. Don't ask me to go horseback riding, all right?
I've always wanted to go to Montana, though. Montana just has that sort of lure to it. It has a real rugged middle of nowhere feel to it.
I was there. I went to Missoula. I did a show there. There's actually a lot of Arabs there.
Were there really?
Yeah. Professors. I guess whenever you go to a university setting, there's always the,
yeah.
the professors.
You're true.
Have you never been horseback riding? You guys ever been?
I have.
When I was a kid, I went. I haven't gone in a while.
It's the kind of thing that's harder to try again after a few years, though. You're like, I want to be able to walk later.
Right. That's one of those activities that reminds you of the muscles that you didn't know that you had.
Yeah. There's things I'm like, why does that shouldn't be something that hurts. But thank you for the offer from Montana.
We got someone from the 312, 610 in Honolulu, Patty.
It's 610.
Too early for bed.
Yeah.
For bedtime.
Well, then thank you for letting us accompany you to dinner, I guess. Thank you.
And the 847, when you were talking about Ireland, were you talking about Bully's Cafe on Grafton? Was that what you were talking
Bully's
about?
Cafe.
To help out Esmeralda? Bully's, Bewleys Cafe.
All right. I'll have to look that up and see what the restaurant looks
our
like.
Our new sponsor for the next 10 minutes, I think.
Bully's. I have to look that
Bully's.
Up. All right. I like that. If it's not, is it a recommendation from that listener? We'll have to ask.
I don't know. 847, let us know if it's a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones we got.
I like that. We were talking about being able to know directions, east, you know, east, west, north, south. I can only really figure out where I am if I'm in Chicago and I know where the lake is.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm done.
How about when you come up from the L?
Oh, yeah.
Does that get discombobulated?
That is. I agree completely. And even when it says like Lake Street when I'm in a parking lot and it's like, you can get off here to Jackson or whatever. And I'm like, that's not helping me.
Coming out of here too sometimes when you go out the certain entrance or something, it takes a while to figure it out.
I feel badly. Did you park in our lot?
No, I parked in my Uber that dropped me off.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You parked in your Uber.
Because when you came here the very first time to park in our lot downstairs, how did that, was that okay? Did I give you directions?
I don't remember. I had been here before.
Okay.
So it wasn't, I don't remember the first time I was here, but I remember the first time I came was with Jeannie Dugan and she got lost.
Okay.
Because once you go under, then Waze
your GPS
doesn't work,
is gone. Yeah. That's the thing. If I'm on Lower Michigan, Lower Wacker, done. I can't.
Yeah, you gotta know it. Right?
I can't get around.
Well, don't you have some cab driver blood in you, though?
Yes,
you can always figure that out. My dad was a cab driver. We always know. Yeah. And if not, we pretend like we do.
Yeah, I've always got a shortcut. I was in the car with somebody yesterday. He's like, wow, you know all the shortcuts. And I was like, I didn't even realize I was doing it. There was a huge line of traffic on Lawrence. So I took a right by the, I don't even know the name of the street. It just runs along the tracks by Jefferson Park, the Blue Line hub. And it's like, there's this really beat
Avondale.
Up street. It's something like that.
Yeah.
But this beat up street that goes like directly to like Ainsley, and then you get left on Ainsley and come back around. Yeah,
oh, okay.
it's
See, you got that. And you picked up a fare just in case.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, yeah, come on, let's get it right. Now, does your dad still drive?
No, but he wants to.
Does he really?
Actually, sometimes he does. He'll come in the city at night, like now, and update his database.
Yeah?
Because, you know, there's certain streets that have a lot more buildings now than they did.
That's true.
In case he comes back on the market. Just, you never know. I might have to be
ready.
But
also, a good cab driver knows downtown the GPSs aren't really reliable anyway, so that's why he's in his head. He's really good.
Do you have a hard time getting into other cabs? Because I have a really tough time when a cabbie isn't very good. I'm like, because I have a standard. I have a daddy standard.
Yes. You have to shower.
Yes, please.
You have to wear clothes that don't make you look like a serial killer. Like shorts and a hockey jersey in the middle of the winter.
Shower slippers with socks. Yes.
Yeah. My dad would wear Dockers.
Yes.
And he just took care of himself. He was so old school.
Today was the first time I was, because again, when I got off the I was at a red eye and I couldn't use my Lyft. So I had to use a cab today. So.
Oh, wow. You went old school.
Yeah. You had to go old.
How was it, Grandpa? School. Did it you use great. A payphone too?
It was great. But then I was in the back there for a while. Like, I'm like, what do I do to entertain myself? Right. Like, because I had a book, but I put it in the trunk. I'm like, I kept trying to watch the TV show that kept playing for the last 5 minutes.
And cabbies aren't giving you a magazine in the back of that backseat.
Because he's already on the phone, that cabbie.
I was like, I wish I wasn't a Lyft so someone would talk to me. no one's talking to me. I'm wide awake.
Oh, what does your dad think about Uber and Lyft? Because I don't think my dad would have done it. I think my dad would have switched over to Uber or Lyft.
So? Yeah, I think my dad was about to, but the fares don't make any sense. I mean, I was driving a limo literally when Uber showed up. And our fares went from, because I was doing black cab limo, then they brought in Uber before Uber X, and our fare was, here's an example. We would go from the John Hancock building to the Sears Tower, and a normal town car, black service, was $80.
Yeah.
Because that's a Chicago trip. And then with Uber, it was like 18.
Oh my God.
So I was like literally the guy who just bought a VHS company when DVD showed up. Like that's really, so yeah. My whole family had stretch limos, town cars, navigators.
Mona.
And then Uber showed up in 2012, February 2012.
What?
And then when Uber X showed up and I took an Uber X, I'm like, what's an Uber X? So I thought it was like a fuel efficient car. Mm. And then I get in and this guy is in a like Toyota Tercel. And I'm like, oh man, something's up. Like the government, like, does this guy know? Like I was all paranoid that this guy gave me the creepiest ride to Zany's ever. And I was taking pictures of his plates.
Oh,
and then other people
God.
Are like, Mona, you're crazy. I'm like,
It was new. That's all. It was new. It was just new. Right. We are hanging out with Mona and Paul. Mona has shows twice a month. When's the next show at the Diversity Bowl? When's the Comedy Bowl?
I have one tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But can I mention something else I'm super excited about?
Yes.
I'm going to Dubai on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Film with Comedy Central Dubai.
Come on. Congratulations.
So jazzed. And representing Chicago. Like, I'm really, really jazzed about that.
That's outstanding.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. And where can people find out more information about your schedule, too?
MonaComedy.com. And again, the Diversity River Bowl, we have a show tomorrow, stand-up comedy and trivia. And our subject's, of course, going to be Dubai, because I need to know more about it in case I need to navigate without a phone.
Have people bring their information.
Right. So MonaComedy.com.
What time does the show start tomorrow?
Starts at 8-ish. At
8?
I'm Arab.
Yeah. Fair enough. When the bowling slows down a little bit, we can hear each other.
Right.
More when we come back with our guests on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Mona, and I've already forgotten how to pronounce her name. Do people do you always have comics say Mona? Because when we would do funny females, I would always say Mona.
Yeah. It's
Abimershat.
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 Do you know my dad moved around the letters when he immigrated over just so it would be easier? Abimershan.
And what were they originally?
Abimershan.
It was Abu Rimshan.
I would be able to say that easier, I think. Abimershan.
Yeah, there you go.
If I say it, and that's the thing, I often say things quickly so it sounds like I said it right.
Yes.
Abimershan.
Abimershan.
Abimershan?
Abimershan.
I feel like I'm adding accents where they don't belong. Paul Farvar. I apologize. That was awful. That was awful. I don't know what happened there, Paul.
It sounds like phlegm in the middle there.
Are you okay?
You just got excited to say your name just in the middle, not when you started, but then in the middle. You're like, oh yeah.
Imagine if the three of us had a law firm. Abimershan, Vasquez, and Farvar. Like, no one would come.
No one would hire us. It'd be very confusing. It's so much going on.
There's got to be a good way to. We
call us AFV. AFV.
F A V. Fav. like favorite.
Oh,
A's got to be in the middle.
Oh, I see. You put yourself
right,
top billing.
I was
going
to say.
Happened there.
Who's the only lawyer here? Okay. Of course I can get
top
billing.
Fair. Right. Did you ever want to go to law school, Mona?
Yes, I did. Actually, I took the LSATs twice.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was about to go to law school, and then I realized, when I was working at a law firm, not so much.
No, couldn't be around that all the time. Mm.
All right. Paper shuffling. No offense, guys.
None taken.
Mona has a show bi-monthly at the Diversity River Bowl. Is it Diversity River Bowl?
Yes.
It's the Comedy Bowl. It's comedy and trivia for comedians and comedy trivia topics every time. And Paul has a podcast called Singles Only, available on iTunes. Every week now?
Yeah, we release one on Mondays. You were on the one we released today.
With Calvin Evans.
Calvin Evans came back, yeah.
Actually, Mona, are you single?
Why?
Because Paul hosts
to do the podcast.
Oh, wrong. Actually, yes, I am single, oddly enough, from an awesome, awesome breakup. It's epic. So epic.
Was it epic? Is it something you feel comfortable talking on Paul's podcast?
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, dear.
See, when I really swanky like that, I turn to an English accent. Yeah, definitely. We talk about it.
Yeah.
How long were you in a relationship for?
4 years.
How long ago did you break up?
May.
May. Oh, man.
So awesome, though. It was super awesome.
Wow.
See how nervous he is?
The twitch
is. Like, I think I know the situation.
I know the situation, I think, yeah.
No. So. Do you want
to? I think we'll wait till the break.
To decide if it's going to work for the podcast? Fair
no,
enough.
No. We'll definitely have you on the podcast.
All right. Cool. All right. I like that. So have you been able, how has it been since May then?
Yeah.
Do you know, and I know Paul's going to ask you this on your podcast. So I don't want to ruin the things that Paul asks because I've done comedy for a long time, for 20 years, and I rarely ever had audience members come up to me and try to ask me out. It was always comics. You know, it was always people I worked with or people in the clubs and things like that rather than audience members. Do you ever have audience members?
No, but I feel like if it's a male comedian, they could look like a shoe in a garage door had a baby.
Hey.
And anybody will go up to a male comic.
Yep.
Right? They could be in sweatpants on a stage at night on Friday night and still get approached. But I don't. And I don't know if it's because
we're
intimidating. Yeah. I think because we'll call stuff out, especially Chicago, like us. We're going to say it.
She got a Chicago accent for that part of it.
I almost swore. I'm
it
just
went
saying.
From
I
English
did good.
To, yeah.
It is excellent.
Right.
Have you studied with any of the Second Cities or improv groups or anything like that?
I did.
That?
Yeah.
Where'd you study?
I did Second City. I did the writing and I did the improv.
Paul and I were talking about the Saturday Night Live exhibit that just opened at the Broadcast Museum. Did you ever have any aspirations to go more into sketch than stand up? Because I've always been drawn more to stand up. I love doing the storytelling.
Yeah. I like stand up. I like a stand up a lot, and I like that all of the success is yours as well as all the failure.
It's all yours.
It's all yours. Yeah. So you get to own it. And you get to rock it. You get to speak your truth. Also, sometimes I felt like, given my upbringing, sometimes my colleagues, when it came to improv, I didn't feel like we got each other. Like I would.
Yeah, if you're not on the same page, it was especially for me. In addition to that, I was older when I did
sketch.
So I was with people who were 10, 15 years younger than me.
Interesting.
They would start doing some thing called pop culture references like that was just out, and I was like, yeah, I don't know what.
Right. For me, it was men always talking about their genitals.
That's been going like for 20 years. It always ends with a penis joke. I never understand that. Did you know that Second City, and Michael, can you do me a favor? Or maybe I can look it up during the break, but I think Second City has started a batch of classes for people who are over 40. And I wonder how that's going to go. I mean, would you want that? Or did you kind of like the mix of people? I think it's better to have everybody take the classes.
Yeah.
Expose young people to older people to young people.
Right.
Sort of segregating. I mean, I guess maybe people feel more comfortable if they're over 40. And if you want to take the class with everybody, you can have that choice. I don't know. Sort of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it depends, I guess. Yeah.
Let's find out after the break. We're going to take a break here. We're hanging out with Mona and Paul. And we have food coming in because Prosecco's got a celebration. It's National Pasta Month. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Favar Esquire. You can catch his podcast every single week. It's Singles Only on
Singles
iTunes.
Only.
And you dropped a new one today.
Yeah, with you as Riding Shotgun.
Riding Shotgun. And also, you also have a show at the Laugh Factory called Drink Date Laugh.
Drink Date Laugh. But this week we're off. I have Everyone's a Lawyer on Sunday at 7 p.m. It's a game show with comedians acting as lawyers. Yeah, Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Go to Paul F. Comedy for more information about his shows. We also have comedian Mona Abermishan, who has a show bi-monthly at the Diversity River Bowling Alley over there on Diversity. Tomorrow is a comedy bowl. And let me make sure I have your microphone on. There you go. And you can go to monacomedy.com. She'll be leaving for Dubai on Sunday. So if anyone has any recommendations for her, please reach out to us. 312-981-7200. Do you like pasta, Mona?
I like air?
Yeah. We have in studio with us the executive chef and managing partner of Prosecco. We have Mark Sparacino.
Yeah, good job.
Okay, thank you. I know. I love when people get excited that I say their name correctly. It's a night for that. Hey,
well,
Mark.
We did practice. Come on.
Thank you, Chef Mark. I appreciate that.
Thank you very
much. Welcome back. Tell us about Pasta Month and how you're celebrating at Prosecco.
National Pasta Month. Yeah. Well, we're celebrating by selling as much pasta as we can.
What do you usually do? Just you hold back
pasta? I hold back. So a lot of fish the rest of the time.
Sure.
So yeah, we do a couple different things during the week. We do a little 3-course meal on Tuesday night. We do a little throwback Thursday with some spaghetti and meatballs. I actually brought a meatball for you, too.
You did.
Word on the street, Patty, is you like the meatball.
I do like the meatball. I also love the gnocchi, which is, it melts in your mouth.
Oh, thank you very much. That's a gnocchi gorgonzola. So, you know, something for the winter that is rapidly approaching.
I have to, I'm like,
you want me to keep talking?
I didn't mean to keep talking. So when you started this restaurant, what did you envision? What did you want to bring to the community? This is an old town, right?
River North. Just up the road. Yeah, we're on Well Street, but we're just kind of the outskirts of River North and the outskirts of Old Town.
You're sort of in no man's land in between there a little bit?
I got to tell you, 10 years ago it was.
It was?
Yeah, really. There was like that old Howard Johnson's across the street. Remember this, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think word on the street again is they rented those rooms by like the hour.
Yeah, they did.
There was an antique store across the street that had been closed for I don't know how long. There was a really great Hoochie Mama bar on the corner, which was awesome.
What's a Hoochie Mama bar?
Well, it was great because... wait, who's the comedian again?
You are. Clearly.
All right.
You thought this seems like a prime location by the Hoochie Mama bar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
By the Howard Johnson hourly rates.
Exactly. I'm like, we got to put a really high-end restaurant there.
Paul still wants to know what a Hoochie Mama bar is.
Okay, so I don't know. They had these really great promoters. So it used to be a cool nightclub back in the olden days. That we used to go to called...
Oh, boy.
The Drink?
No, the Drink.
That's where Carnival is now.
I know.
The Drink. It'll come to me. Pasha was down the street. That was on Clark Street, but I do remember that.
Anyone? 312-981-7200.
Yes, it was 720.
Still don't know what a Hoochie Mama bar is.
Okay, so they had these great promoters, and they promoted to primarily, I think, Hoochie Mamas. So we had this awesome clientele of people sitting out on our little sidewalk patio, all dressed up nice and having their expensive meal. And then come 10 or 11 o'clock at night, this bar started popping because they had a 5 o'clock license.
Oh, no.
And legitimately, it was Hoochie Mamas on parade. It was awesome.
Are you Googling the word Hoochie
Mama?
What does the Urban Dictionary say about Hoochie Mamas?
Urban Dictionary says a female who dresses ghetto fabulous.
Boom.
Lots of gold, lots of weave, typically Patti LaBelle style with red, purple, gold, or orange streaks.
That was exactly it.
Okay.
I couldn't have given you a better definition from actually being there.
Wow.
Okay.
He just got a mental picture of it. He couldn't really,
Okay, it was Cairo. Remember Cairo back in, well, you guys are probably
not
too young, but back in the 90s, Cairo was like this really awesome place.
Is that how long you've been at Prosecco?
No. Back then I was working at Topo Gigio, actually in Old Town, right?
Which was an Old Town.
And we used to go and hang out at Cairo. That was one of our night spots.
Oh my God.
So
you've been in, serving up Italian dishes for quite a while in Chicago.
Absolutely, yeah.
Has anything changed as far as Chicagoans' taste? I mean, it seems as though your dishes are more detail-oriented. I don't know if that makes sense to say.
You know, I think things have changed. Well, yeah, things have absolutely changed. I mean, even in the last 10 years since we've been open, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary coming up in December. And since then, the type of restaurateurs that have come online, at that time, the big guy would have been the Let Us Entertain You, but now there's a half a dozen other great groups, the Boca guys and the Dynamic guys and One-Offs. And these guys are all making just multiple great restaurants. I think the level of competition is greater than it's ever been in Chicago for restaurants. And we have a guy like Grant Ackett's with one of the best top restaurants in the world, creating new restaurants and concepts. So everything has changed. It's more difficult to get good help because there's just so many restaurants and even fewer and fewer great people to work for you. And the type of ingredients I think that we have access to now is increasing. There's much better importers of food as well as the local purveyors. There's a lot more local food available, I think.
What do you look for do you try to find things that are local when your providers of whether it's your, you know, vegetables or the pasta, the wines, even, you know, the suppliers that you have for that?
To a certain extent, I think in the summer, fall and the
it's
summer
easier.
And the spring. Yeah, totally. It's a lot easier. We do deal with a few local farmers markets. I think last time we were here was more towards the summer. So my mother grows a ton of heirloom tomatoes for us. So
did you walk up to every table and go, you know, those are my mom's tomatoes?
It actually says on the Caprese description, Darlene's heirloom tomatoes. Yeah.
How big is her garden?
It's massive. No. She will usually have 40 or 50 plants growing in her backyard, and then we'll supplement that with a couple different local farmers that we get our heirloom tomatoes from and other produce as well.
Where is she live?
Yeah, I can't tell you
yeah,
that.
Don't. Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, she lives right in River North.
Yeah. Yeah. People
two
are in her backyard.
Yeah. Right by the Hoochie Mama bar.
My own Hoochie Mama.
There you go. That's what your mom wants to hear in association.
Oh, she's been asleep for hours.
All right, fine. We're sending her a copy of the podcast for her.
She'll have to figure that one out.
Everything is available. So what can people expect this month to celebrate? Is it all the rest of October, or is it starting
in
November? Yes,
it's all of October. I think last week was National Pasta Day, and then there's just National Pasta Month runs throughout the entire month. And I think we have maybe a dozen or 15 different pasta to choose from. You typically will feature one or two additional pasta on the menu outside. And now we're starting to kind of go into our fall menu. So you'll see more on the ragus and the bolognese and the stewed heavier, that gnocchi gorgonzola right there, which make you smile.
Well, and I also want everyone to know anyone who works in the hospitality industry or makes people look better in the beauty industry, and in particular first responders and members of the military, have Shift Drink Mondays 40% off.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like our little industry night, and I stole Shift Drink from my partners in Austin, Texas, so hopefully they won't get mad at me, but that was kind of a cool name for a industry night.
Absolutely.
And yes, we've opened it up to first responders and people in the service industry, hotels and restaurants, and even those of you that fix people's hair.
I love that. And cause I'm trying to remember, we would have shift meals, and then we'd also would have like the pre-shift meeting, and you'd find out what the specials were and taste everything.
Right.
But I can't.
Is that when you were working at Hooters? Did I remember this
not
conversation?
That's what we were having wine tastings with our pairings for the wings at the Hooters. Even at Planet Hollywood, we had a pre-shift.
Hollywood, I knew it was in the neighborhood.
Even at Planet Hollywood, we had a pre-shift meeting with a tasting of the specials. I really hated that job. I hated more than I hated working
Planet
at
Hollywood.
Hooters. Oh God, yeah, I hated that job. I'm trying to remember. I think we did it at Grizzly's Lodge. Cactus wasn't necessarily having a pre-shift meeting.
Cactus.
Trying to think of where else I've worked. Yeah, but I don't remember if we were ever given a shift drink. I don't think that was something that was afforded to the employees. So
really?
I applaud you for this idea.
Thank you. Well done.
Thank you. We are hanging out with Mark. He is the Mark Spadaccino.
There you go.
Spadaccino, who is the executive chef and managing partner at Prosecco. We're celebrating National Pasta Month. He's brought in some delicious dishes, including the gnocchi with gorgonzola.
Yeah, gnocchi gorgonzola.
And then this one's the orecchiette
tartufate.
Heard it both ways. I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try that one. That's where I would just, as my friend Vince Maranto says, I would just point at the menu.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Like to eat that one. And a meatball. Thank you so much for that, by the way.
Oh, totally my pleasure.
Follow him on Instagram at Prosecco, and also Prosecco Chicago, and on that's his Twitter account, and the Instagram is at Prosecco Chicago 710. I'm guessing that's the address.
That is, and then you can follow me directly at Prosecco Chef.
Or just what kind of car do you drive? More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me riding sidecar, as always on Monday nights, is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, host of the Singles Only podcast, available on iTunes. You can also catch a show coming up this Sunday, Everybody's a Lawyer. Go to paulfcomedy.com for more information. Mona Abumrashab joins in studio. She has a comedy show tomorrow, comedy and trivia show at the Diversity River Bowl, and that starts at 8-ish, and you can go to monacomedy.com. She's also leaving for Dubai on Sunday, so if anyone has any travel tips, suggestions, or otherwise, please give us a call or text at 312-981-7200. We also have in studio with us you're pretty funny, Adam. I would say you're pretty funny. We have historian and author, tour guide around Chicago, knower of all ghost stories that are Chicago-based, as is Adam Selzer, also a regular on the show. Friend of the show, Mark Sparacino, who is the executive chef and managing partner at Prosecco at 710 North Wells.
Yes.
I'm going to guess that because that's your Instagram account number.
Yes.
I'm just going to put that all together.
You're putting it all together.
Awesome. We mentioned your shift drink Mondays, which is 40% off for hospitality, beauty, first responders, and military.
Yes.
And I think it's a lovely idea. But you also have your treat yourself Tuesdays.
That's a lot of fun.
You're like me. I like themed things. I have Wellness Wednesday. I've got, Trending Tuesday.
Yeah, I think we do a wind down Wednesday and then a throwback Thursday.
Did we steal that from him? Don't tell him that we stole that from him on Fridays. We're doing wine and wind down on Fridays.
Oh, yeah, but it's not a Wednesday. So
not
I guess,
a trademark,
yeah.
So you're fine.
What about his W, right? I see what you did there. Okay, fine.
Wind down Wednesday.
I have
throwback Thursday.
Thrifty Thursday.
So. Afternoon.
Friday, come and pay full price.
Yeah, good luck getting your reservation Friday. Is that what it's called? What were you say, Paul?
Attorney afternoons. We can work on something there.
Oh, I think that would be a great idea. Yeah. I like the
double
the,
price.
So you guys are doing something where like comedians are acting like attorneys, or are you doing attorneys acting like comedians?
Comedians act. It's a game show where comedians act as lawyers. We just give them different legal situations, and they have to win to see. It's like a game show.
Sounds like my attorney.
Huh? There you go.
It's like a game show.
Set up.
He is quick.
Yeah.
Did I not get the memo? How come you guys all brought your like really cool headphones, and then like we got the house headphones?
I'll see if I can find my purple ones. I have a pair of purple. I have all of my own. Well, here I would give you a pair of mine. Only.
I feel like I'm almost a regular contributor over here since I've been here twice.
You did bring the food.
I have. Six.
I did bring the food. Oh yeah, I'm like the in-house caterer.
Hey, Bob, do you have a cord? I don't know if Bob has a cord.
Oh no, I'm not that fancy. But next time I'm bringing my own. They're gonna be big.
Yes, absolutely. I have six pairs of headphones. I'm like. You know what? I actually have another pair. I have seven now.
You're that person on the
airplane.
I am
Cinderella. I'm Cinderella when it comes to headphones.
Cinderella.
Yeah, these are too hard. These are too big. These are too small. These are too loud. These don't have enough bass.
Oh my gosh! Is that
Cinderella or Goldilocks?
Yeah, I think that's Goldilocks.
What did I say?
Cinderella.
Oh, I'm the Princess and the Pea.
It's like the Three Bears. Princess and the Pea.
She looks like Helga with the braid right now. Anyway, does it really matter? Where's she going, Brother Grimm?
Exactly. I don't know what story I'm in. I'm in a fairy tale, and the shoe doesn't fit. All right, then.
Oh no.
Yeah. See, I don't know what I did there.
So you're one of the evil stepsisters.
That's the one. Clean it. Okay. So let me focus. I know it's hard to believe. I am like that dog in Up.
Shiny.
Squirrel. Also, some of the great events that you have. So tell me about Treat Yourself Tuesday.
Okay, Treat Yourself Tuesday. We do three courses, and it's you can pick most everything on the menu. Appetizer, entree, and dessert for
$39.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good literature.
I read well.
Wednesday, the wind down Wednesday is 40% off of a majority of our wine list.
Okay.
The throwback Thursday we alluded to earlier is some of that old school stuff that I was brought up on, you know, this kind of newer fangled Italian food that we're making now. So it goes back to my roots with the spaghetti and meatballs and sausage, peppers and onions, lasagna, brujol, tiramisu, cannoli, you know, little antipasto salad, things that are not normally on my menu.
When you were a kid, because your mom clearly was a tremendous cook.
She was fantastic. Is fantastic.
What was the thing that you look forward to, though? I mean, you know, because there comes a time, like for me, you know, it's beans and rice again. All right, cool. But when my mom made like chilaquiles, it's an event, you know? So what was the event?
Meatballs were always a great thing. It's not like she was back there rolling out meatballs like, you know, 3 days a week for us. So that was... So when they would do one of those big Sunday sauces. We would call it, so there, you can call it sauce, you can call it gravy, you can call it, we called it sugu. It's like a Sicilian dialect, sugu. When they would do that and they would cook the neck bones and the Italian sausage and brujol and meatballs and everything would simmer inside that sauce for like hours, and I would be over there dunking the bread and the sauce in eating that. So that was usually a big Sunday meal, and maybe we'd have people coming over, or the holidays, you know, those were the great memories of food.
I know your house had to always smell good. I wanted to ask Paul, did your mom do a lot of cooking and have a lot of, because as I mentioned, I went door to door yesterday in my neighborhood doing some canvassing, and I noticed that it was the houses that had like the Mexican family or the Middle Eastern families, like they're like as soon as the door opened, you'd be like this waft of like garlic or whatever like mm-hmm. spices were being used. I'm like, okay, these folks are doing a Sunday night dinner.
Yeah, yeah, my mom would get upset if we ate out. Like even on her birthday, she's like, "I'm going to cook." I'm like,
"Oh yeah."
And if you went out, she'd be like, "I can make this at home." We're like, "Yeah, we know you can."
My mom always does that. She still gets mad. Like, why aren't you going out to eat? You don't like my cooking? I'm like, "No, I love your cooking. I want you to relax.
Have a day off. Yeah,
we want to go out to eat. We just feel like it's easy." Did your mom get mad at when?
No, I liked eating. No, you know, we got into the restaurant business later. So growing up, we didn't have restaurants. We weren't in restaurants. But you know, my best friends were Filipino, and I loved going to their house for this Filipino thing, but I would have to bring over some pasta or something for my two buddies, Mike and Tony, to eat, because these guys hated that food. Because that's all they ate. We got to eat everything.
They weren't adventurous. But
they were, I think, adventurous. I mean, that the food that they cooked, I loved going over there for the family parties. The uncles were just getting hammered, and they were giving us beer when we were like 14 years old. So those were always great events. Yeah,
Mona, how about in your house? Was there a lot of cooking in your house? And don't feel like you have to.
Let's just say thank God my mother, who's English, learned how to cook Arabic food, because had she cooked English food, no one would ever come home.
No.
I mean, nobody goes out for English food.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they went and conquered other places. So thankfully she learned how to cook really good Arabic food.
They conquered other places for the food?
Yeah, come on.
That's true. I mean,
bangers
food.
And mash and peas.
So no one at your house was asking for spotted dick?
Ugh, no.
Or fish. Adam, anybody in your house a cook?
Everybody, really. Everybody.
My dad
got really into fancy food when I was, after I moved out, he got really into fancy cooking. Big dish, our big one is chicken and noodles, chicken with frozen egg noodles.
With the frozen egg noodles?
Yeah. Well, you know, you cook them first.
Yeah, no. And that's appreciated.
Yeah, those big, thick frozen egg noodles. It's kind of a cousin to chicken and dumplings.
I don't think my dad ever cooked. He would open a can of stewed tomatoes and maybe make box mashed potatoes and make a steak. And that was like the extent of my dad's culinary experiences, I think, was all. I don't remember him ever. And bacon. I don't think he would even make bacon. Now I just realized that. I just don't have any memories of my dad cooking anything. But it is. I'm glad that that Mark, our guest, the executive chef and managing partner, Mark Sparacino.
Oh my God, it's getting better.
So, what makes your happy hour happier than other happy hours?
We have a massive bar, some great cocktails, and again, most of our appetizer list is 50% off, so you can get that half pound beauty sitting in front of you, that meatball, for like $7.50, I think, and that's quite some value. We're pouring some nice a few featured cocktails, Aperol Spritz, some wine pours for a discounted price. So yeah, it's great. We have a lovely crowd coming in the restaurant at 5-6 o'clock and getting ruckus at the bar and ordering up some cocktails and some food.
Well, everyone get over to 710 North Wells and celebrate National Pasta Month. And if you don't make it this month, there's so many great events going on every single night of the week, Monday through.
And afternoons, too.
Thank you very much. We're open Monday through Friday from 11:30 in the morning on. We're kind of like that old school place that we don't close in between 3 and 4 or what have you. We just stay open. So and then Saturday we're just open for dinner at 5 o'clock. Sunday, I'm at church all day, as you guys can imagine.
Oh yeah, no, please.
All
as you should.
does attorney afternoon start at 1 o'clock or how does that work?
I don't know.
Do you have to show like a card that you're an attorney? Like how do you?
Yeah, I'm sure we have something for you guys. Actually, yeah, it's usually, you know, we usually charge by the hour. It's like $720 an hour.
There you go.
And we charge by the 15 minute increment.
You have to pay up front like a retainer.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
I did get a question from firefighter Todd Tuchuk asking and making sure, and I just already told him yes, but I want to make sure all of our first responders do know that Shift Drink Mondays, that is 40% off for all first responders, military, beauty, hospitality.
Yeah, and industry. Especially firefighters. I had a lot of really great friends that are firefighters here in Chicago, and some of our staff at the restaurant have family members that are firefighters.
And what does that cover, 40% off of?
The bill, man.
The
like
bill.
Everything, 40%
what?
Off.
What? Yeah. How are you not eating every
exactly.
Monday night?
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Prosecco's, 710 North Wells. Todd, get over there. Well, it's too late now. You're not open right now. Right?
No. Todd, yeah. Todd, wait till tomorrow.
Wait till next Monday. By the way, last time you were here, someone called as you were outside. So if anyone needs to ask Mark a question, 312-981-7200. We're going to do our selfie in just a few minutes. And then I'm going to let him go because, he's, you know, otherwise he's here forever.
Got to get up and do something tomorrow.
Got to get up and make the meatballs. More after this on 720. You're welcome, Mark. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, trying to make sure I can finish the show because I took a bite of the tiramisu from Prosecco. And I'm just saying, I mean, like, you know, I've had some pleasures in my life, but that's really, like, there's tingling going on, the chef. I'm just
tingling.
Tingling, yeah.
In what part of your body?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm about to get into specifics. Comedian Paul Farivar Esquire joins us. He's the host of Singles Only podcast, available on iTunes. Just dropped one today. You can also visit Paul F. Comedy to find out his schedule for the rest of this month, including the Everyone's a Lawyer
on Sunday at Laugh Factory. Ways. And then this week I'm at Zanies in Rosemont all week with Judy Gold.
Oh, how fun.
Really
That's
fun.
A great show.
Yeah,
oh, I got to ask really if she can come in. You had a text to read to Mark.
Yeah, we have a text from the 847 who was at Prosecco on Friday, hand to God. They didn't capitalize G, but we'll just let that slide. And they said best gnocchi on the planet.
Yes.
Just a phenomenal place. Oh. This is from the 847. They just texted.
So. That's so nice.
I'm trying to think if I have any friends that I would insult by saying it's the best gnocchi I've ever had, but I'm going to go with
it's just different. I mean, there's all this. Actually, this gnocchi here, it's from Padua, and it's made with bread. There's actually no potato in this one, so it's like
so no carbs.
No. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Last I checked, I think there's a carb or two in the bread, but it's hard to say.
Sure.
But yeah, it's made with some like our day old bread, and we dry it out a little bit, and we soak it with some milk, and saute some spinach and garlic, and then a little flour and egg, and we
protein. A little, yeah.
Yeah, just like a little leftover.
You just swirl it around.
Something
yeah,
or another.
I can tell.
You can tell it's like a day old bread.
Right,
because of the different, because then all the carbs are taken out, and then it's like a protein dish with
right.
the spinach.
Sure, right, sure. Well, the cheese, there's a fair amount of protein in the cheese.
Yeah.
Yes,
and the spinach, well, you know,
some of your
that's
vitamins.
Got some iron.
There you go. So, I like that
iron. Yeah, you can tell.
You guys are good to go.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Keep telling yourself that.
Fantastic. Mona Abramishan joins us as well. She is hosting every month. She has a show every other week. Would that be the best way to say it? Every other week at the Diversity River Comedy
and Diversity Comedy Bowl.
Well, it's the Diversity River Bowling Alley on Diversity, and it's the Comedy Bowl. There's comedy, there's trivia, there's Mona.
Yeah, every other Tuesday.
And so fun show. I've done it.
There's swag.
Times.
There's prizes. Yes. There's glasses and T-shirts and scarves.
Yes.
Oh, my. Uh-huh. I love that you have prizes.
Yeah, you know.
And I miss doing our funny female showcase, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later as far as, you know, when it comes to sort of identifying comics and groups and things like that. And I love that you have a show that you are proud that is diverse, represents everybody,
yes,
is absolutely. Open to everybody.
Yeah, as long as you're a funny female.
No, she has everybody. My show was women only. It was something that Zanies wanted to come up with. They were trying to do themed shows.
Uh-huh.
But there are, you know, having done comedy for 20 years, I assure you it's different for women on the road. So it was an opportunity for women to just have a stage to themselves and not worry about, you know. There was somebody who was mentioning this online today that they realized that when a woman's coming to the stage, the male comics, and it was a guy who realized it, he goes, the comic will often say, she's lovely, she's talented, this young woman coming to the stage. Oh, and now we have a female comic. Like all these different identifiers rather than like our what we always ask them to say. Tell them I play colleges and clubs all over the country or I've been on Comics Unleashed. It would always have these other things. And it's a whole other story.
Are you guys ready for a female perspective?
Yes.
So you mean half the earth?
Yeah. It's very odd. So on my show, we never had to do that. We would just be like, here are comics. And yes, we're all women. And if you expected something else, bummer.
Go
so,
home.
Exactly. And Adam Selzer is an author, a historian. He is doing tours. And this is a part of his busy season. He also teaches classes on grave digging.
Yeah, grave robbing 101.
Grave robbing. I apologize. Yeah, not
grave
digging.
Robbing. Yes. Yeah.
Grave robbing specifically.
You got to learn the digging part, too. But, you know, it's all part of
separate
the means
course.
To an end.
Separate
know?
Course. Yeah. And
advanced placement, yeah. AP.
101, 201.
Yeah, tested.
Well, really, that's the real secret of grave robbing. You don't really have to be much of a grave digger to be a grave robber.
That's good to know, because they're not all underground anyway.
Well, they're not all underground. You don't have to dig out the entire grave. That's a real rookie mistake.
Oh, fair enough.
All you'd really have to do is dig a hole down to the head of the coffin and cut yourself a hole.
So. Huh. Is that where the good stuff is?
Yeah, usually you can just, you know, get a rope, drag the body out.
Oh,
it's not really a. You know,
it's
people
still
tend
held
to think
together.
The trick was you had to get one that was right shortly thereafter. The medical schools didn't want it after they started to rot.
Yeah, so you could sell them.
Yeah, people think grave robbing is all about getting rings and jewelry and stuff. And that's at the time when grave robbing was really a thing, everybody was so paranoid about grave robbers that nobody was getting buried with anything valuable.
Wasn't Leonardo da Vinci doing some of that when he was trying to study anatomy and he couldn't really get...
Quite likely.
Right?
Wow.
I doubt there's a primary source on it, but quite likely.
Yeah.
I should never look at da Vinci the same way again. Before we talk about Mark's, the location at Prosecco, whether or not it's haunted, I mentioned something last week and everyone stared at me like I was crazy. There was a period of time when people would be buried with a rope with a bell at the other end in case they were buried alive.
There were all sorts of trick coffins going around, like alerts to see if in case you were buried alive. People were very paranoid about that. And I don't think anybody actually ever got rescued from one of those kind of coffins.
But that was.
But yeah, there was like coffins with escape hatches, coffins with alert systems, like a bell stuck to your finger. you occasionally hear that's where the phrase "dead ringer" came from.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that's correct.
I don't think that's correct.
It's one of those things that sounds like a fascinating fact, but it's not really a fact.
What about the graveyard shift? Wasn't that also
was that
from people hanging out and watching?
Quite possibly. Yeah. Well, the city sexton was the guy who was in charge of guarding the cemetery at night. They were generally known to be drunk and corrupt. It was not a job that really required you to be sober very often. In fact, it was probably a lot better not to
same
be.
Thing
yeah,
stand up.
Yeah, you're kidding. Exactly. Another show with a drunk crowd. Me too. Then Mark was asking about. The history behind the location, or you guys were talking about the history behind the location, the funeral home next to your restaurant that
yes.
had previously been there.
Yeah,
but
back
you,
in the 20s.
So I was asking if you have experienced anything or anybody that works at your restaurant or perhaps any of the customers. What stories have you heard from people?
And yes, I've just heard of the breeze over the shoulder, the moving of items throughout the restaurant. There's areas of the restaurant that my morning staff would absolutely not go to, and they didn't know the history of the place next door. This mm-hmm. is them coming up with this information kind of on their own.
And have you ever experienced anything?
I drink a lot though, so it's hard to say what. What's real and what's not.
What was that? I'm just going to ignore that. And now, Adam, are there people who are more prone to...
There certainly seems to be, yeah. Some people seem to see ghosts everywhere. Other people never see anything. I never seem to run into any ghosts myself.
I'm convinced that the more...
Well, except for Resurrection Pedro. Rose Hill Pedro. I saw Rose Hill Pedro.
Rose Hill Pedro?
Rose Hill Pedro, yeah.
Is
the vanishing
catcher
hitchhiker.
For the Dodgers?
No, he's the lift passenger who disappeared out of my car around Rose Hill Cemetery.
Oh, okay.
That's
just like
right,
Pedro from Napoleon
me.
Dynamite. Yeah.
That's right. This is a while ago, wasn't it?
This was about 6 months ago now, yeah.
That's fascinating. Huh. What kind of events do you have coming up for Halloween?
We have got quite a few events coming up for Halloween. We've got, the big one is on Sunday night. We're doing a thing called the Curious Cruise. It's going to be like my architectural boat tours, but with a lot more ghost stories.
All right.
If you go to mysterioushicago.com, that'll link you to tickets. There's still a couple dozen tickets left for that one. It's going to be leaving on a yacht called the Summer of George that leaves out of the South Loop area.
And where do people go for ticket information?
Mysterioushicago.com. There's also a ghost bus tour that I'll be doing on Saturday afternoon. I used to do 300 ghost tours on a bus a year. This is the only bus tour that I'm doing all year.
Oh, congratulations on being able to cut
back. Just that particular one.
Isn't the best feeling in the world is to go, these are my limits this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I'm doing a lot. I've done a lot of walking tours and a lot of library lectures and things almost every night. And this weekend I have five different things. I have four tours and a library event.
Really? What's going on this weekend?
This weekend, it's just how... Mostly it's just Halloween, the weekend before Halloween, but I've got a cemetery tour at Rose Hill, so we'll keep our eyes peeled for Rose Hill Pedro. Then I've got the ghost tour in the afternoon, then an H.H. Holmes tour that is now sold out, I believe. Then Sunday I've got first a library thing. We'll be talking about true crime at the Eisenhower Library, and then the Curious Cruise.
What were you going to ask, Paul?
No, I was going to, he said he was looking for Pedro. I'm like, just watch the Dodgers game. He's going to be game one.
Okay, before we go, Mark, are you a fan of baseball? Did you watch?
I am.
Now,
I did.
Did you see the story about Kiki Martinez and his, it's his mom? Who was like his family's in Puerto Rico, so she had to. They were messaging each other, and she was like, "I'm going over to your grandparents' place to watch the game." And he's like, "I'm gonna hit a home run," and she texted back. She's like, "Just put the ball in play," which I think is the greatest text back. And he's like, "No, Ma, I feel like I'm gonna hit a home run." And what a great story for his family. Wow. I love that. I mean, this is such a bright spot in the Cubs' loss. I love that.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. He felt like, it's like a Babe Ruth moment. I'm gonna hit a home run, or maybe three.
Just point out there.
Whatever it takes.
Kiki.
Yeah, I got you a story about a gunman at your place in the 1950s.
Oh,
53.
From his property?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, this is as bad text 50s. Reading. This is 714. I was looking for 710.
Yeah. Do you also occupy the
bad,
space?
Bad optical character recognition in the Tribune archives.
714 is next door. There's a nice little bakery there.
Yeah, this is all to do with 714 and 720. It just came up in the search for 710.
What happens at 714?
There was somebody got robbed.
Somebody got robbed.
But 1953, we're all okay now.
All right, then. Yeah, you're
good. Sounds like nobody got hurt.
Neighborhoods changed a lot, people. Yeah. Don't be afraid.
There has been a robbery since.
And the Hoochie Mama bars are gone.
Unfortunately.
There you go. Let's.
Okay, 10,000 pounds of brass fittings and copper tubing were stolen from Manfield Brass Products Company, 1612 South Michigan. The man arrested said he hauled them to 710 North Wells and received $1,200.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I remember that exchange. I did really well on that. But, that was in 59.
Yeah.
The memories. Memories. Yeah. Well, everyone stop by for the, whether it's to, see if maybe you feel something a little creepy this weekend.
Well, if you're like some
haunting,
some clanging brass.
It's not just Mark. It's
I'm gonna reserve that one.
There you go. Stop by for the incredible food. Go to prosecco.us.com.
Yeah.
For the menu, for information about the restaurant, and they have some great events all week long. Shift Drink Mondays, 40% off for hospitality, beauty, first responders, and military. So that first responders, for your cops, your firefighters from anywhere in the area, from anywhere, stop by for some great food. Treat Yourself Tuesdays. He's got a three-course menu for $39, anything on the menu.
That's a great value.
And Wine Down Wednesdays, you've got a huge discount on your bottles of wine. And then Family Style three-course meals on Thursdays for Throwback Thursdays, a $33. Minimum of two guests required. Again, follow them on Instagram, Prosecco, Prosecco Chicago 710, or on Twitter at Prosecco Chicago. Mark, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome to keep
having
hanging out, but otherwise I'm going to keep you awake. All right, then. Take care.
As much fun as it is.
Let's get a picture.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, more after this on 720 WGN. And if you have a ghost story, give us a call, 312-981-7200. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Halloween is just a week away, and we are hanging out with Adam Selzer. He's an author, historian. He's a grave digging teacher, and that sounds weird, but it's for real. It's what he does. I mean, you
everything you need to know to launch your career as a 19th century body snatcher today.
There you go. If you want to sell a body to the medical community, you know where to go to find out from Adam Selzer. Go to mysterioushicago.com. Mona Abramashan is in studio as well. She's hosting the Comedy Bowl at the Diversey River Bowling Alley on Diversey over by there. You know where it is. It's right by that bridge and that thing in the neighborhood. It's before Damon. That's all I know. Right. It's not that far from Damon. And it's comedy. It's trivia. She's got prizes for everybody. So for almost everybody, people who win at least. And yes. I can't promise.
We always let everybody win a little bit.
I like that. Comedian Paul Farvar, Esquire, in studio. He has the Singles Only podcast, which dropped today.
Yeah.
And you can go to iTunes, search for Singles Only, and then this Sunday night for sure, he's got Everybody's a Lawyer coming up. You can go to Paul F. Comedy for more information, paulfcomedy.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when I started becoming obsessed with ghost stories. I actually just showed The Shining to my son and his friend. I think 13 and 14 years old.
It should be fine.
It should be. I just don't remember I didn't remember the naked lady, and I definitely don't remember anything about the dog and the man in the bedroom.
They got Tumblr.
I don't understand. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? There's a scene where it seems as though there's a guy dressed as a dog pleasing a man. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
See, I don't know if it's like it was like I have like the unedited version because I don't remember that scene. 312-981-7200. Can you Google that for me, Michael, and tell people I'm not crazy that there's like.
Are you sure you got the right movie?
I know, right? I'm pretty sure it's Shelley Duvall. Yes.
So let me get this clear. You want me to Google what?
Google dog pleasing man.
No, in the movie.
I gotta put this on.
I think it's gonna. You're gonna get a lot of different things.
Don't right now. Do not Google that.
Don't do it on your own phone.
Do not Google that. And right. Especially ignore the first three pictures that come up.
I just did it. A skull and crossbone.
No, appeared. I mean in the movie The Shining. I don't know if it's like I don't know if he wrote something about that.
Do me a favor and you know you could add like and with and add without Adam Seltzer.
Adam did not want to know about this.
I don't want you to find the pictures.
Do you consider The Shining to be a ghost story or a psychological thriller?
It's a ghost story, a psychological thriller disguised as a ghost story.
Disguised as a ghost story, yeah. Right? Because, I mean, it's sort of the movie's sort of confusing. Have you ever read the book?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
I'm guessing the book is much better than the movie.
Yeah, well, it usually is unless it's a musical. I feel like musicals usually improve on the book.
This is
so
a good point.
If we did like a musical version of The Shining, I can start like, all work and no play.
That is a chilling moment where she like pulls up the sheet out of the typewriter and realizes this is all he's done.
Yeah.
You know, in all the different formations, you know, whether it's like in pro. Yeah, it's just so creepy. Michael, have you, he's like, no, I'm not Googling this. I will Google it then.
Yeah,
I just got
a
call from my boss. I love that movie though, and I know the part you're talking about. And it was always kind of weird to see those kind of.
It happens in passing, right? She's coming across a lot of different weird things all at once. Like she stumbles across that room with all the skeletons and like cobwebs and everything. Mm-hmm. And poor Shelley Duvall. I mean, like she just had to have the audition must have been wide-eyed terror. And apparently, apparently he tortured her. Kubrick like basically tortured Shelley Duvall on the set.
Yeah, I've heard about that a little bit.
Does not sound like it was a fun time. What were some of your favorite horror movies or ghost stories growing up?
Growing up, well, we had the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark book.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, people just light up when you mention Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. The most consistently banned books in libraries, year after year after year. They were really remarkably scary stories. And he also, the same author, Alvin Schwartz, also did an easy reader called In a Dark, Dark Room, which was really dark. Like people's heads fall off in it. Ghosts turn out to be real. There's endnotes talking about the folklore behind it and the original sources. How often do you see an easy reader that has to cite its sources?
Michael, can you see how much is it for this week? I know, I just put me too.
Yeah.
I wonder
You got the new version over there. You have to get the old school one with the really creepy illustrations.
So I'm guessing these are not part of the public domain. So like we can't read any parts of these.
Well, but many of them are old folklore and in some cases are barely rewritten by him.
I feel like we should read a ghost story on the air. I wish we could do this. But I don't know what's public domain and what's not.
Well, I think, does he have the old woman all skin and bones? Was that one of them in there?
We
could do that. That's a whole song. There was an old woman all skin and bones.
I'm scared right now.
Ooh.
Go ahead and keep singing.
She lived down by the old graveyard.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, having a lovely Monday night. It got a little rainy, and there were some emergency vehicles on Michigan Avenue earlier. I hope that everyone is okay. Please be safe on the roads. It has certainly become autumn very quickly. It is. It was 80 degrees over the weekend, and then just like that, heavy rain brought in some cool weather, just as Tom Skilling said it would. And here we are with autumn, and it's perfect for ghost stories, ghost tours. You can go to MysteriousChicago.com and hang out with Adam Seltzer any time of the year, but in particular, it's fun to do it this time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, the other day I did a walking tour at Graceland Cemetery, and, you know, the leaves were crinkling under us. There was a light rain falling. All the leaves had changed colors. It smelled like autumn. Perfect cemetery weather.
It is. This is the good stuff.
Yeah,
it
was just perfect.
And I think you've got your sweet spot all the way through the rest of the week because
looks like it,
it's going to be cold tomorrow, but then it goes back up to, like, in the 50s and 60s for the rest of the week. I'm not sure what Halloween is looking like yet.
Right.
I know Tom Skilling has already told us, but it's perfect. perfect weather. Go to MysteriousChicago.com, see if there are any spots left on the tours that
there's a few. The Ghost Tour Saturday afternoon I know has quite a few slots left. I think on Halloween night I'm doing an H.H. Holmes walking tour downtown.
Okay. And where do you start for the H.H. Holmes?
That starts outside of the LaSalle Wacker building and then proceeds all the way down to the South Loop.
Go ahead.
We can trace. H.H. Holmes is most famous for his place, the Murder Castle, down on 63rd Street, but it's a long way to go for a vacant lot. Most of the places that I can trace into are around downtown in the Loop, so we can kind of trace his career through there.
Do you have, because I have an odd fascination with cemeteries. I love, anytime I go to, I like to just check out the local cemeteries. It tells you a lot about the town, the history, some of the ethnic backgrounds, the way people honor the dead. Obviously, New Orleans is fantastic. Mona, have you been to New Orleans?
Yes, I have.
I mean, because I've never had the chance to go down there.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Because what I know of the cemeteries, I've learned from movies.
Yeah.
More anything else? Go ahead.
They seem fairly accurate to me. You know, if you see a New Orleans cemetery movie, you go down to New Orleans, like, yeah, that's just about how it is.
That's how it looks. Yeah. Do you have a favorite, Mona? Any favorite cemeteries?
Actually, one of the ones that's my favorite is the one that's down in South Central Illinois where my grandparents are buried, because it's fun to try to find them every time we go back. Every year we go back, we're like, oh, wait. Oh, no, is it over here? And then we're just walking around like a bunch of goofballs.
That is the thing. Like, where my grandmother is buried, it's somewhere near, like, Maywood Park. And every time I drive by and I stop, and then I have to ask again for, like, the map of where she is. Because I'll try it by myself. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's front of this building, like, four or five rows down. And then I end up wandering around, too. Yeah.
The other one I liked is at Northeastern. Anybody who went to Northeastern, that cemetery, when you're sitting out there just kind of bored in class, you're like, wow, I wonder how many dead people are. Wish they were in here with me.
That might have been where I got my fascination was... When I was in preschool, my mother was going to Northeastern, and we went for a walk, and we got lost. Yes, that's the right face for preschoolers. So you can ask my mom. This is a true story. We got lost in that. What's the name of that cemetery?
I think that was Bohemian National.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
It's good. It's massive.
It is.
It's a huge cemetery. Yeah. Do you have a favorite cemetery?
Around here, I like Graceland a lot.
Graceland,
yeah.
I like Rose Hill.
I do like that one. I'm doing a tour there on Sunday.
It's a good one.
Saturday. You know, I just had a great time a few weeks ago. I took some people on an H.H. Holmes tour, but they were really big Booth family, like the John Wilkes Booth family.
Oh. Yeah.
Historians. So they wanted to go out to Rose Hill partly because John Wilkes Booth's sister-in-law is buried out there. I knew that.
Okay.
The woman, Mary McVicker, who married Edwin Booth, is buried out at Rose Hill Cemetery. But also, we wandered around. He was looking for this one name. We figured out approximately where it was and just wandered until we found it. Just an unassuming thing. But it was an actress, and she was on stage in Our American Cousin the night that Lincoln was shot.
No.
And now she's at Rose Hill.
Interesting. Well, because the Rose Hill Cemetery is actually bodies that were moved from Lincoln Park, aren't
quite
they?
A few of the ones from Lincoln Park. Quite a few. The records on it are terrible.
Okay, I can only imagine.
Yeah, you can only imagine. The records are terrible. From what they tell me, a lot of the ones that were moved from Lincoln Park are over along the north wall at Rose Hill.
Because there are Civil War soldiers that are buried in Rose Hill Cemetery as well.
Wow. Certainly. Yeah. Well, it was founded just a few years before the war started.
Right. Paul, what's your favorite cemetery? My dad used to, so I grew up near St. Adalbert's on Milwaukee Avenue, and my dad would always say, hey, you know, they can't bury us in there. And I'd be like, why? He goes, because we ain't dead yet.
That's good.
I know, and I would fall for it, too. He would wait a few years before he would ask me again.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is he like that?
I like that kind of joke.
Oh, you should definitely please use that. I would be honored. I would be honored if you used that for my dad.
Reminds me of my other favorite. You'll hold up a finger and say, you know why Abraham Lincoln never pointed with his finger?
Why?
Because this is my finger.
Well done,
my friend. We are going to do we're doing a new segment.
Yeah.
We have a new segment coming up called Is It Legal? I love that, Paul. So let me try to figure out, I'm trying to think of things that, is it legal?
Looking up what you were looking up earlier. I'm not sure if you said
that off the trap. On a work email? No.
Yeah. No, not to Google. Yeah, is it illegal to Google pornography on a work email?
It's not illegal, but there might be
work issues
sure. related with that.
This is more, you will ask somebody if they think it's legal or not. Is this what the game is? Tell us the rules of the game.
Yeah, so I'm going to give people multiple choice. We'll start with Adam and Mona and Mike and yourself if you'd like to play, Patty. And then people can call in to see if they want to. We'll have three rounds of multiple choice for them to pick.
I'm giving Paul a bell so he can ding it.
that's if you win. But there are going to be questions on based on laws in different states, and you're going to have to guess which one is real and which one is not so real.
Is that legal? Ooh. So how many contestants do you want on the phone?
We'd like at least one to play along with Mona and Adam, but if we get two three, we can do that.
Who wants to go head-to-head against Adam and Mona?
Yeah, and Michael, too. I think Michael's going to play. And
okay.
Patty, Esmeralda, what are you going to do?
I'll just sort of, I'll be the observer.
You'll be the voice of reason.
Can I do, I'll be the voice of reason. Can I be the special, the sound effects girl?
Yeah. Let me see if I can do this. Actually, Michael has some good ones from last time from What's Paul Eating, but yeah. But yeah.
I need a better range of sound effects. I only have like this. Oh, hold on a second, I'll do this.
The Allstate Kid of the Week on the Steve Cobb.
Sorry about that. Can you reset that? I hit the wrong button. I was supposed to hit hot. I apologize, Michael. Can you reset our spots?
The master of the sound effect over here.
Yeah, I'm so good at this. Hold on. Let me see. That's what there it sounds like. That's what it sounds like when I do the sound effects.
Michael has some from What's Paul Eating that were pretty funny last time. But we could. But here's we'll give away tickets to the winner will get tickets to Everyone's a Lawyer at Laugh Factory on Sunday, and then I don't know if you have anything to give away as well.
I don't know how to use this machine over here too. This is a lot of sound effects, but
you look like a little kid, like with a keyboard in front of you. Like, oh, this is gonna make a xylophone.
She looks like she's about
sound.
To make labels. Yeah, yeah. She even knows what she's doing. Yeah.
I don't know how to turn this on. How does this one turn on, Michael? I bet you Bob's like, don't touch that. Hold on, let me see if I can figure out how to turn this thing on. Where's the? Do you see the on button on this thing?
Clap.
It's called. Okay, we need a contestant to play. Is that legal? 312-981-7200 for our inaugural event of this game.
Yeah.
We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's and a pair of free tickets to Paul's event.
Everyone's a Lawyer.
Everyone's a Lawyer.
Laugh Factory on 7
so
o'clock
So here's
Sunday.
The thing. If we can get you the card in time, you can get yourself a pie and then go and eat and watch the show is all I'm saying.
Get yourself a pie.
Get yourself a pie. All right. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to turn on this machine. 312-981-7200. That's our number to play. Is that legal? I feel like there should be a creepy voice. Is that legal? It's more like that. Is that legal?
There's a Star Wars line, my lord. Is that legal? I will make it legal.
There you go. 312-981-7200. We've got calls coming in. 312-981-7200. Is that legal? More after this on 720 WGN. Is that legal? Well, it's definitely law. I'm not entirely sure how much order there will be, Paul, as we play our first round ever of...
Yes.
Is that legal? Is that legal?
It might actually be better to be called which one's legal, because it's going to be multiple choice, because I feel like, I want to...
Is that legal to pick the one that is legal?
One, right. Which one's legal? Illegal? Yeah.
Is that legal?
Is that illegal?
Oh, illegal. Oh,
yeah, well...
Hold on a second. So, re-explain.
When I ask the question, so here's what we're going to do. There's going to be each person that calls is going to be asked a question about a state, and there'll be three choices. They have to pick which one is accurate. They're going to be which one's illegal. Like
illegal.
Which one, yeah, which one's illegal.
All right. I feel like I misled everybody.
No, I think it's the same thing.
Which one is not legal?
Which one is not legal?
We're not going to ask you to judge these people.
Right.
Which one of these people here are legal?
Let's bring our first contestant. Yes? What was that, Michael?
I was going to say, so there's nothing to do with you eating anything.
There's no eating.
Okay. Paul will not
Uh-oh,
be
eating. All the calls just stopped.
Yeah. So Paul's not eating anything? The gnocchi's
I was
gone.
Eating.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can't. I don't know if we want to play what's Paul eating with gnocchi.
Pasta?
Yeah, that would be disgusting. We've got to do crunchies.
All right. Is that illegal?
Yeah. All right. Which one's illegal?
Is that illegal?
When I ask the question, it'll make sense.
All right. We'll figure it out. Hey, Matt, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for calling and playing Paul's game. he'll explain as you go. I'm going to sit back and watch the festivities. Where are you calling from, Matt?
I am in Kenosha right now.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. Just north of the border from us. All right, Paul, go ahead. Take it away.
All right. So we're going to start with Indiana. And Matt, you're going to have to guess which one of these is illegal. In Indiana, is it illegal to fish with your bare hands, use a fishing rod to fish for mammals, or use a fishing rod at a gas station or any station selling gasoline or oil products?
Wow. Which
one is illegal? Do you want to
I would
you
say
wanna, go ahead.
I would say it just seems so weird. The gas station.
Is that your final answer?
Do you want to ask the panelists as well?
Yeah, Adam and Mona, which one? Fish with your bare hands, use a fishing rod to fish for mammals, or use a fishing rod at a gas station or any station selling gas or oil products? Which one is illegal?
I'm going to say fishing for mammals is illegal because Beavis and Butthead got in trouble for it.
Okay.
They were going couch fishing.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But Mona? You're right. Is it Matt or Michael? Who is it?
It's Matt.
Yeah, Matt. You're right on with the whole gasoline thing. That's real specific. I'm going to go with you on that one.
Is that your final answer, Mona?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Michael, are you gonna take a guess?
No, you, Michael.
Oh, me. I'm going to say I think fishing with your bare hands. I'm going to stick with that.
What?
Darn.
Fishing with your bare hands is illegal.
That is the correct answer. That is illegal in Indiana.
Wow.
So Adam, Mona, and Matt, you are incorrect.
All wrong.
Also,
all right.
Also, the police officer on Beavis and Butthead's got some splaining to do.
Well, right. They weren't in Indiana.
Matt, so. we still have a pair of tickets for you to go see Everyone's a Lawyer on Sunday night.
Yay. Yeah.
Or any other upcoming show.
Or the upcoming shows.
Every month. It's the last Sunday of every month.
Hold on the line, and Mike will get your information. Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. All right. We have Cindy. Cindy, do you get an idea of how we're doing this?
I'm excited to give it a shot.
All right, excellent. So the grand prize for whoever gets the answer right, we'll do a bonus round with the winners. Like, so if Cindy gets it right, then we'll hold on because we've got Mike, Lisa, and Jacob all on hold. All right, go ahead.
Okay, Cindy, in Maryland, is it illegal to sell heavy metal paraphernalia through a vending machine, sell non-latex condoms through a vending machine, or sell 24 condoms or more in one purchase? Which one is illegal?
You know,
Cindy?
What? You can't let those people out there who need more than 24.
Okay, is that your final answer, Cindy?
That is my final answer, is the 24.
Okay, Adam, what do you think?
I'm going to say the same thing.
Okay, Mona?
Yeah, I like her conviction, too. Yeah, I like that one.
Michael?
That gnocchi was so good. I'm going to stick with the same answer, too. Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to say heavy metal paraphernalia is illegal to vend.
All right. Everyone is wrong.
Wow.
Selling non-latex condoms through a vending machine is illegal in Maryland.
No sheepskin for you.
Sorry, Cindy.
Wow, Cindy. That's all right, Cindy. Hold on the line. You've got a pair of tickets to go to go see one of Paul's upcoming shows at the Laugh Factory. And Michael, that'll be great. And actually, for Matt and Cindy, when we get your emails, I'll have Michael forward those to me as well, because I have a show coming up at Zany's the week of November 26th. So if you guys want to see that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Cindy,
it's a twofer. Thank you, Cindy. All right, well, here we go. Mike, let's see if Mike is going to be our first winner. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Hi, good night. Good evening, I mean.
Hey, that's all good. Good evening, sir. Where are you calling from?
Oak Park.
He sounds very disappointed. It's a good town. We love Oak Park. Birthplace. Didn't Ernest Hemingway live there?
Yeah, I think he did at some point.
Some Frank Lloyd Wright architecture over by there?
Ernest Hemingway graduated from Oak Park High School.
There we go. I knew it was something.
Who's that?
Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, okay. There we go.
There we go. All right. Here we go.
All right, Mike. In Indiana, we're going to go back with Indiana. Which one of these is illegal? Is it illegal to sell alcohol within 100 yards of a college campus or facility? Sell cold water or soda with any alcoholic product? Or use any funnel to drink alcohol from? I think that's like a beer bong. Mike, which one are you going to go with? Sell alcohol within 100 yards, sell cold water or soda with alcohol, or use funnel to drink alcohol, Mike?
Well, selling near a college campus.
Okay. Why don't we hold on that one? Can we ask the next caller the same three questions? Or you know what? We'll do the next one. Adam, which one are you going to go with?
I'm going to say the same thing, probably within 300 feet.
Okay, Mona, what are you going to go with?
You took that deep breath. What was that all about?
He's being dramatic.
I'm going to go with the middle one.
The sell cold water or cold soda with alcohol?
Sure.
Okay.
Michael?
So I think that Indians know how to party, so it can't be the funnel one, but I'm going to stick with the water with alcohol in it. You can't do that one.
Mona and Michael were correct.
Mona and Michael are correct. Mike, you are incorrect, but
hold on the line.
Hold on the line. We'll give you free tickets to Zanies.
I feel
to
like
see.
Maybe it's because we're making the listener go first. Maybe we should let everybody else talk it out first.
Why don't we do that for the next one?
Michael, I've got a pair of tickets for you for my show and for Paul's show coming up. And Michael will get your information and send that off to us so we can put you on the list. Sound good?
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mike. All right, we're going to switch this up. And we're learning as we go. Matt, Cindy, and Mike, I want to see how this goes differently with Lisa from Highland Park. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody. Great. How are you?
Excellent. And we're very good. Now, would you prefer that we talk out the answers first or make you guess first?
It doesn't matter. I've been right twice. So.
You've been right, so you want to guess first. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, let's let Lisa guess first.
Yeah. All right, Lisa. We're going to go with Alaska for this.
Ooh.
It's the 50th state.
I was hoping for Florida.
She's a lawyer, though.
There's some right. crazy
Everyone's
laws
a lawyer.
In Florida. Yep.
Okay. Is it illegal to hunt without a hunting cap or head covering, get drunk and stay on the premises of a bar, get drunk after 1 a.m?
Oh.
Which one is illegal, Lisa?
Oh, man. How do you time that?
Hunt without a hunting cap or head covering, get drunk and stay on the premises?
The first one.
Which one?
I'm going with the first one.
Hunt without a hunting cap or head covering?
No, yeah. Wait, they're so crazy up there.
Yeah, they are great. Which one do you want to talk it out first?
Like they would ride motorcycles without helmets.
Sure, they would.
All right, let's see what Adam. What do you think?
Well, let's see. I mean, the head covering seems to make the most sense to me. Is that they don't know when you got drunk, and they don't know, and they can't really tell you who you have to throw out of your bar necessarily. So the first one seems the most logical to me.
Okay, Mona.
I agree. Yep, I agree.
Michael Heidemann.
So I'm thinking, like he said, a lot of people get drunk at 12:59, and that's usually the cutoff time. But I'm going to stick with the head covering.
Maybe I made these too hard. Everyone is wrong.
Lisa, are you sticking with your original? Oh, everyone was wrong?
Everyone was wrong.
All right, Lisa.
Get drunk and stay on the premises of a bar. It's illegal in Alaska.
All right. Lisa, hold on the line. We'll get a pair of tickets out to you from Paul's show and my show.
We're going to make them a lot easier. Answers. This is a lawyer that's also asking the questions. Do we trust this guy?
Trust your research.
That's true. I could have made all these up.
Yeah. No, these weird laws are notoriously hard to fact check,
No, I fact check them.
Okay. All right.
Do we have another round left?
Yeah, we'll do another one.
Jacob, you are our final contestant for, is that legal? Jacob, would you rather that we talk them out first, or would you want to guess right out of the gate?
You can just call them out.
All right, we'll call them out.
Okay, Jacob, is it illegal to give whiskey to dogs?
Where is this?
This is in Illinois.
In Illinois, ooh.
Is it illegal to give whiskey to dogs? Is it illegal to walk dogs after 3 a.m. in Oak Park, Illinois? Is it illegal? This is the third thing. Or is it illegal to, I can't read this here. Oh, is it illegal to put pajamas on dogs?
They wish it were. They wish
illegal to put pajamas on dogs. Illegal to walk dogs at that time frame, or is it illegal to give whiskey to dogs?
I'm going to say the second one about Oak Park.
Okay.
What do you think, Mona?
I want it to be the whiskey one because it just makes me laugh.
Okay.
Don't give whiskey to your dog.
Right.
All right. I like that too.
That sounds like a good law. Don't give whiskey to your dog.
To set the bed, I think that I'm going to go with what I wish was legal, and that is to put pajamas on dogs, unless the dogs are drunk on whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be kind of a little bit
This
more
is
fun.
A good point. You got to get your dog drunk on whiskey to put a...
All right. Jacob, you are incorrect, and Adam is right. It's illegal to give whiskey to dogs.
Wow.
And it should be. And it should be.
And it is, yeah.
I am a towering legal mind.
You know, I may have made this first round a little too difficult.
I love it.
I think I sold it with I made up the pajama thing as we were talking.
That's so funny. Jacob, hold on.
It's like the Orion Samuelson round.
It is like the, it is like the Orient.
We had an extra round. We didn't think we'd have this many callers.
There you go.
So.
Jacob, you've got a pair of tickets to see me at Zany's on November 26th and Paul at an upcoming show. You can go to Paul F. Comedy for his schedule and go to Zany's.com for my upcoming shows at Zany's. Time now for a quick break. And are we doing another round? Or is that legal?
No.
All right, then. More after this on 720 WGN. We'll see what we're doing. We got other things. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's a bit of a drizzly, rainy night tonight. By the way, visit our Facebook page, WGN's Facebook page. We have up the new roller derby video. Amy Guth, Violetta Padromedic, Stephanie Menendez, and I all went to the Fleetwood Roller Rink in, I gotta remember the name of the suburb, but we learned how to roller derby. I mean, I already knew how to roller skate, but I hadn't roller skated in a very long time. We strapped on some gear, helmets, pads. We had elbow pads, knee pads, wrist guards, and we knocked each other down. There's actually one point where you see us high-fiving each other, and I start to lose my balance right after. We're like, go, fresh meat. Do you roller skate, Paul?
I did a lot when I was a kid. I was actually a figure skater, too, so
you should come with us.
I'll come.
Let's go roller skating. They have an event. They have every Monday night. They do something called Red Hots, and they teach people how to the elements of roller derby.
Yeah, I was pretty good. There was a Lombard roller rink by me, and the owners lived in our subdivision, so they'd let us dress as the fuzzy characters for free.
Treat.
Like I was like, oh wow, we don't have to pay. And it's like he was like, yeah, now I don't have to pay someone to come in and dress like a furry or whatever.
That's great. Mona, did you ever roller skate?
Oh yeah, I did.
Did you go to which one? Axel Roller Rink, or where'd you go?
No, it's Rainbow. Something.
Oh, the Rainbow. Yeah. On Clark. Where was Rainbow? Or is Rainbow?
Yeah,
Rainbow.
It was on Clark.
It was on Clark. I know because it was by one of the taxi cab companies. I think it was by Flash Cab. Mm-hmm. My dad used to work over by there. Did you ever roller skate, Adam?
Skate North in Des Moines.
Skate North?
Skate North.
Is it still open?
I have no idea. Probably is.
Yeah, because I was trying to tell my my representative that I thought maybe Jefferson Park could use a roller rink. And he said, I don't think there's really a demand for that.
You know, I was taking a school group out to Dubuque, Iowa. Mm-hmm. We did a bunch of stuff along the Mississippi River. And in some town, I can't remember what it was, just middle of nowhere, you'd see, like, off in the distance, you could see a couple of houses. But then right in the middle, giant roller rink.
Right?
Middle of fields of nowhere. Who even, like, drove by this place? Like, you know what we need right here? Roller rink.
We just draw everybody in. Right,
yeah, we'll draw all
field.
Six people in who live within a 20-mile radius of here.
Are you saying it was a front for something else? Something else going on?
I hope it was.
Did they allow inline skating?
Well, we just drove by. I didn't really get all of the rules down.
Do you prefer inline or do you like? Yeah, me neither. Yeah, all four wheels. I can't do inline. I had a pair of inline skates. It never did anything for me.
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
Yeah, I just didn't enjoy it. I want to go roller skating. So let's do a roller skating field trip.
Yeah.
All right, let's go do that.
Totally downtown. Yes.
I tried using their speed skates. Like they have roller skates that are speed skates, and they have a lower ankle on them.
Oh,
it hurt so much. I was wobbly all over the place. And when we were done, I go, can I ask you a big favor? Do you have like the high ankle boots, roller skates? And they gave me a pair, and it was so, I mean, it's amazing the difference it makes. Did you find that it made a difference for you when you were a kid? What kind of skates you had?
I had my own roller skates, yeah. And
ice skates,
too. Yeah. But I wanted to play hockey, but my mom wouldn't let me, so I figure skated.
So you were a figure skater and a tennis player.
Yeah.
These are good.
These are things
independent
that it
sports.
Was popular in Oak Brook. Everyone figure skated. It was like football for normal people.
312-981-7200 to all of my Oak Brook friends. Everyone
still living in Oak Brook?
Yeah, it's popular.
There. Yeah, no, I feel like there's mostly just they have more employees than citizens.
They do.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of businesses there. Well, McDonald's is moving, so.
It's coming to the city. They're moving to Harpo Studios. Ooh,
but they're saying Amazon might take the old Oak Brook spots. It's one of the.
Is that one of the locations?
One of the locations they're looking at.
Esmeralda, did you roller skate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Did you have your own skates?
I did. And then I've since bought myself a new pair for my older people feet.
Oh, where did you go shopping for roller skates?
I ordered them online.
Yeah,
they're Skechers.
Or you can go to Play It Again Sports.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's a good idea too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, mine aren't the high ankle though.
They're low ankle.
Yeah, like, they look like sneakers.
And do you like those? Yeah,
well, that's true. You had those.
I had low ankles. I need high boots though, because I have bad ankles.
We should go roller skating out like after the winter for potholes and just see who can win with the potholes in Chicago.
This sounds like a dangerous adventure.
Extreme sports.
Well, and that's the thing too, is there are outdoor roller skates and indoor roller skates.
Where?
What for? Not the rinks, types.
I thought rinks. Oh. I was like, where?
I know.
That sounds fun.
Hey, I wonder if you can roller skate. They have a skateboard track like around the wall climbing at Maggie Daly Park. I wonder if you can roller skate on that too. I would imagine.
Yeah, why not?
Right?
Yeah.
Or on a dare, I'll do it.
What about
throw me out of here? What are you gonna do about it?
Does that mean rollerblades are coming back? Because I didn't throw mine away.
No, I don't. Here's the thing. Things don't just go away. You can do them or not do them.
Oh, yeah. Easy for you to say.
Who cares if anyone else is doing it?
Well,
do you have to fit in?
Yeah.
I've seen people rollerblade. More in L.A. than here, I would say.
You haven't seen anyone rollerblade in the last two years.
I saw people
on the beach with like short shorts and a whistle.
Yeah.
In Venice Beach? Yeah. Anything goes there.
Yeah. There's some nuttiness in Venice Beach.
I'm gonna rollerblade on Monday next week. Let's see how many I'll Snapchat the whole thing.
By the way, speaking of next week, it is Halloween. Do we dress up? We dress up on Halloween, not on the day before. I think it's on like Halloween's Eve. So you're not required to wear a costume next Tuesday. Are you dressing up for Halloween?
I haven't decided if I'm rollerblading or not. Depends on the weather.
Are you still dressing up for Halloween, Mona? Is that a thing?
Yeah, actually, I'll be in Dubai, so I'm gonna go trick or treat in Dubai, and they better give me gold when I knock on that door. All right. All I'm saying is, if I'm coming all the way from Chicago,
that's great.
But I love bricks.
Yes. Adam, are you dressing up for Halloween?
I'm not sure. I'll be running a walking tour.
That's a good point. But you probably are very dramatic. Maybe something like a flowing black coat.
Not a really big costume guy. The way I dress just normally is flashy enough, I would think.
All right.
Like, I got my new blue coat, the red scarf. I got the real RSD Bruant look going here.
Yeah.
By the way, I got very lucky that... Oh, well, there you go. I like the hat. I've got very lucky. My son is a big fan of Doctor Who. And he wanted a 12th Doctor. He wanted the coat. It's the kind of got a little bit of the like a pink lining to it.
Yeah.
And you can go online and they have like costumes and stuff. I got a nice wool blend, sort of a short trench for him that works perfect.
Nice.
He's so happy. He's worn it 2 days in a row in the house.
Yeah. Nice.
That's when you know you did it right.
Yeah.
When your kid won't take off their costume.
Yeah.
You did it right.
Just so long as he's not the weirdo at the laundromat in a in middle of May still wearing his Halloween costume. It's like, hey.
Well, because the laundromat, that's the only thing you're not washing. Yeah. So. And until somebody starts a nude laundromat.
That's a good point.
Where you can wash everything at once. Yeah.
Such a good point. Michael, are you dressing up for Halloween?
There we go. Yeah, I think so.
Do you know what are your options? What are some of the choices?
I'm between two. So usually I wear like some kind of onesie, whether it be...
Yes. This guy is too cute not to wear a onesie, right?
Just Halloween.
Too hot. Yeah, just for Halloween. Yeah.
All right, so onesie or...
Or a full-on gorilla costume that I bought about 10 years ago, but it was like a $200 gorilla costume.
So you wear the hell out of that thing.
Yeah. It stinks like hell, to be honest.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's very comfy.
Ooh, I have something for you in my office.
Ooh.
It's one of those...
Speak of stinking.
In my office.
Stinking gorillas.
Come to my office, Michael. No, it's someone sent me the Lou Manfredini like absorb the smell that product.
Oh, thank
Fresh
God.
Wave?
Fresh Wave.
Oh, that stuff's good.
Someone sent me Fresh Wave. They also sent me a copy. They sent me a Javi Baez t-shirt. Thank you to our listener who sent me the Fresh Wave, the Javi Baez t-shirt, and the Rear Window DVD. So thank you for all that. I've gotten now two copies of Rear Window. People really want me to see the last half hour of that movie.
We have the best listeners.
We do have the best listeners. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Yeah. So I have Fresh Wave for your gorilla costume. It's got to work on that too.
Just in time. Thanks, Patty.
Before we go to the break, Esmeralda, you'll be celebrating Halloween in Ireland?
Iceland.
All right, we have to Google the Iceland.
I don't know how spooky they are over there, but we'll find out.
Their street names alone are terrifying. More after this on 720 WGN.